This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, I'm still on the series of the power of words, amen? And my subtitle is, because I like to focus on a different subject matter pertaining to words in each session that we're in. And so the title of my message is Keys to the Kingdom. Somebody say, Keys to the Kingdom. Amen. He has it up there. Amen. And God is so good. And, you know, we are in a series called The Power of Words. And I really believe that our words can dictate the quality of our lives. How many people believe that your words can dictate the quality of your lives? I believe that God wants us living our lives in the highest level. How many people believe that? And so our words can enhance our lives and it can help us go to the next level. Amen. I like what it says in James 3:2. James is saying that we all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So we know this, that in our walk in Christ, glory to God, that we're going to have some days where we're not going to be totally perfect in God. We're going to miss it every once in a while. But the Bible says a good man might fall seven times. You know, if they say a good man can fall seven times, amen. What about a bad man? He's falling a lot more, amen. But a good man falls seven times, but he will get back up. Why? Because of 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins and he is faithful and righteous. In other words, I love the gospel because it's a do-over gospel. It's a new beginning gospel. It's a U-turn gospel. It's a fresh start gospel. Somebody say fresh start. Somebody say new beginning. And that's what we are in, a new beginning every day, for his mercies are renewed every morning. Amen. And so we all stumble in many ways, but you know, if you want to stumble less, get a hold of what comes out of your mouths. And if you can get the tongue controlled, amen, you know, the Bible says that no one can tame the tongue, but you know, the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit is residing on each one of you. And the Holy Spirit can help you speak the right things. When he says a perfect man, really what that means, that word perfect means mature. In other words, the more mature we become in Christ, the less we miss it in what we say. So the more mature, in other words, the more mature you are, the less you're going to talk. Amen. And the more you're going to think about before you speak it. You're going to think it before you speak it. Amen. In other words, ponder always on what you're going to say before you say it. Amen. And if what you're going to say, you know, should be, you know, through a filter, is it edifying? Is it building up or is it tearing down? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to speak things that build up and not things that tear down. So we always want to do that. Amen. And so I love that. So I like what it says in Psalms 19:14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what we think about is so important. And what we think about will eventually get into our hearts. And what gets into our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or the mouth leaks. So what we think about, so what do you need to be thinking about? You need to be thinking about good things. You need to be thinking about what's pure and holy and what's good report. Don't think on the negative. In other words, you need to start thinking, no matter what you go through, you're going to win. In other words, whatever is going in your life, God's going to work it out for good no matter what you face. God's working it out. Look at your neighbor and say, God's working it out. So you got to start believing every day that you wake up, no matter what you're encountering, God's going to work it out for your good. Are you saying, Pastor, if something negative comes in my life, God's going to work out for good? Yes, He will. Because you're going to learn how to stand in God, and you're going to learn how to fight like a champion. Amen? So whatever the enemy means for harm, God will turn for good. So you need to start believing everything works out for me. Say that. Everything works out for me. Regardless of what it looks like. Amen? See, if you have that attitude, you cannot lose. If you have that attitude, no matter what the devil throws at you, you cannot lose. Amen? I'm looking at winners today and not whiners. Amen. Amen. And so, and then James says, we put bits in the horse's mouth. They may obey us and turn the body of the horse. Or we have ships that have rudders, and the winds will try to push a ship a certain way. You know, we are in a battle. You know, we are in a fight. You know that the devil's out here and he's trying to hinder some of us. He's trying to have the winds of the storms and the winds to push us in a certain direction, you know, and the devil wants to push us, but we just need to use our tongue as a rudder to go into the wind. Amen. And you can go right into the wind and you can get to your destination. Say, I'm getting to my destination. Amen. And so your tongue, no matter what is going on, God is working it out for your good. Say, I believe that. Amen. I like that in Proverbs 18:20. It says, a man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This is a powerful statement, that with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. In other words, God wants us to have satisfied and fulfilled lives. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God wants your life to be satisfied and fruitful? He wants us having fruitful, satisfied life. And it all starts with our words. Your words can bring in satisfaction in your life. Do you believe that today? Words of praise and adoration towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thanking God for what He has done for us. Glory to God. We never should forget the sacrifice that Jesus paid so that we could have eternal life. Amen? So we know that our words will get us into that good place in Jesus. Now, you know, I'm going to say this, that sometimes we get in this idea, sometimes when we have needs, we get need-minded. There are some Christians that are always need-minded. I need this and I need that. And we need to be very careful that we're not need-minded, that we're always asking God for something. Amen? We need to be very careful because being need-minded is not walking in the optimal of faith. Amen? You really need to be seed-minded. Amen. You really need to be seed-minded. And because, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So if the Lord is your shepherd, then you have no needs. Say, I have no needs. Because God takes care of your needs. You need to start making faith declarations and not need declarations. I'm going to say it again. You need to make faith declarations and not need declarations. A faith declaration goes like this, and my God, somebody say, my God, shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God. I love that because it's personal. How many people have a personal God out here? How many people's God is personal to you? My God. Amen. I love that. And we need to make these declarations. And when we make these declarations, we become more seed-minded. Because seed is not just sowing a seed, a financial seed. Your words are seeds. So when you sow seeds of words, especially God's words, it will bring you to the next level. You know, I read this book by Oral Roberts, and it was the title of it, The Power of the Seed. And he wrote a book on how to be financially blessed. How many people want to be financially blessed in here? Good, I got some hands in here. Amen. Amen. I got some positive people. You're not taking a vow of poverty. Is anybody taking a vow of poverty in here? You know, some people take vows of poverty, but I'm going to take a vow of prosperity. Is that okay? Is that okay? And why? Because I want to be so blessed that I can bless others. Is that okay? Is it okay to be so blessed that you can bless others? That's what it's all about. In other words, you know, it's no fun just... See, listen, I pray for my relatives, and I'm always praying almost every day for their salvation. And I'm praying for their salvation because it's not going to be fun if just me make it to heaven. I got to get other people to heaven. Amen. It's not just fun for me just, you know, because God's going to make me a multimillionaire. That's what I'm confessing. But it's not just for me. I want you guys to be multimillionaires. Amen. You know, I can't boast about my millions until you start boasting about your millions. Amen. So I believe that God wants to bless each one of us. Why? For the sake of the harvest. It's all about the harvest. It's all about people getting saved. We're going to buy some land in Virginia Beach. We're going to have our own building. And God's going to use some of you and prosper you so much, you're going to help us buy land and build a building. Amen. Say, that's me. Some of you might be writing $100,000 checks. Amen. I like that. That's me. Somebody say, that's me. Amen. A tithe on $100,000, that's $1 million. A tithe on so you would be okay with writing a tithe check of $100,000, right? Amen. And so Oral Roberts, in his book, he was dealing with a financial situation. Anybody ever dealt with financial situations in here? And he was commissioned to build, you know, Oral Roberts University. And even though you're commissioned to build something, you still have to have faith. Even though God tells you to do something, you still have to have faith to get it done. Amen. I'm going to say again, God can give you a vision or idea, but you're going to have to take some steps of faith to do it. Amen. You know, just the vision alone and no steps of faith, then it's lunacy. Amen. No, you got to take steps of faith when God gives you a vision and you need to start walking it out. Say, I'm walking it out. And so Brother Oral Roberts was doing well. Millions of dollars were coming in to his ministry, helping him to build this beautiful Oral Roberts University and this faith center that he was building. And then all of a sudden the money stopped, and he kept praying, and the money wasn't coming in. And he had unfinished projects. He had buildings that he needed money to come in. And he started praying, and the Lord said, you've tapped out your heavenly bank account. You tapped out your you've given in the past, and you're given, put a heavenly bank account in the heavenlies, and then what? You've stopped giving. And you're not giving like you used to give. And because now you tapped out your heavenly bank account, there's no more money in the heavenly bank account. And so Oral Roberts started praying, what do I have that I can sow as a seed? And he started praying, and he had an airplane. And that airplane was worth, I don't know, $4 or $5 million or something like that. And he decided to sow his airplane into another ministry. And when he sowed his airplane into another, he gave it away. Somebody say, give it away. Give it away. See, some of us might need to give something away. Some of us might need to sow something to see a blessing in our lives. And so he sowed that into another ministry that needed that airplane. That ministry was praying for an airplane. And then when he did that, multiple millions started coming back into his ministry and helped him build the university. In other words, he was able to sow into the kingdom. And see, when you sow, God multiplies your gifts. Do you believe that today? So what he can take the little that we give him and he can multiply it. Some of us might be just on just enough street, but you can get in more than enough, avenue. Amen. And how do you do that? By sowing into the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's how he was able to bring the finances in. So again, we must be seed minded instead of need minded. And when we're seed minded instead of need minded, we'll see God's blessings in our lives. We know this, that Jesus had a need to feed thousands of people. And he said, and he was testing, you know, God will test us every once in a while. He will test to see what we're going to do. Do you know God will test you just to see what you're going to do? And Jesus was testing his disciples and said, you know, we need to feed these people that's been here. And I've been ministering to these thousands of people and they need to be fed. And the disciples said, well, we don't have that much. You know, we don't have, you know, it would take a lot of money to buy food to feed these disciples. And Jesus says, what do you have? See, some of us are trying to focus on something out here and you're not seeing something that you're already possessed in here. You see, what you have is greater than what you're trying to get. Oh, man, that's good today. What you have and what you possess is greater than what you're trying to receive. You already have everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. You have some things. You have some assets. You have some abilities. You have some gifts and some talents. You need to start putting it to work. Say, I'm putting it to work. See, the Bible says a man's gift will make room for him. Do you believe that today? Your gift, God has gifted each one of us. Some of us are great cooks, amen, like Sarita, hallelujah. Some of us can sew and do different things, and you can use your talent as a seed to see God's blessings in your lives, amen? So God can multiply a little. And so he said, what do you have? A few fish and a few loaves. And what did Jesus do? He took the fish and loaves and he blessed it. And when he blessed it, it multiplied into thousands of pieces of fish and loaves to so much they had a surplus. Can somebody say surplus? In other words, they had baskets left over. In other words, God wants you to have so much that he wants you to have overflow at the end of the month. In other words, he wants you to have surplus. Can somebody say surplus? Why? So that you can find ways to give it into other people's lives. So that you can find ways to sow it into the kingdom of God. Amen? Somebody say, I'm a giver. Glory to God. You are givers. Amen? And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen? So our words are containers. Think about your words being a container. And they contain either death or life. And so as you speak words of life, it contains the power for life to enter not only in your lives, but in the lives of people all around you. Same thing with death words. Those are containers. And if they're opened up, you know, with other people, they will create death in people's lives. Amen. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a speaker of life. And I want to love God's word. Say, I love God's word. Amen. And so we need to love God's word. And you know, the Bible is a positive book to those that believe, and it's a negative book to those that don't believe. I'm going to say that again. The Bible is your best friend if you love Jesus. But if you hate Jesus, it's your worst enemy. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. If you don't like Jesus, you hate the Word of God, it's your worst enemy. But if you love Jesus, you love the Word of God, it's your best friend. Are you listening to me? Are you tuning in this morning? I like what it says in Proverbs 8:32-36. This is powerful. It says, now therefore hearken unto me, all ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Think about that. That's powerful. So we see here there's a blessing on one side and a curse on the other. The blessing is on those that love God, that honor his word. Favor is on your life. For those that hate God and hate his word, then a curse is on their life. Now, we can bring people that hate God, hopefully through prayer and through witnessing, into a place where they're loving God. And so they don't have to be under a curse. They don't have to be under judgment. They could be under the grace of God. Like each one of us was under judgment at one time. But thank God. Thank God somebody spoke a word of life to us. Somebody ministered to us. Somebody invited us to church. Hallelujah. And we reluctantly said, no, I'm not going right now. I'm not going. But it got bad enough out there. It got bad enough out there in that cold, hard world. And you said, man, it's about time for my life to change because my life is not adding up right now. And so you had to get into Abba's house. Say, I'm in Abba's house. Abba is another word for father. Amen. We're in Abba. You know, the Bible says that we're children of God and our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Somebody say, Abba, Father. Amen. Because he's our heavenly Father. Amen. I love that. So if you're going to love the word, if you're going to love Jesus, you must love the word of God. If you love the word of God, you love Jesus. They're together. In John 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So everything was made through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. And in John 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. God's word is full of grace and full of truth to those that believe it. Say, my life is full of grace and full of truth. That's powerful this morning. Your life is full of grace and full of truth. So my subtitle of my message is Keys to the Kingdom of God. If we can get a handle on these keys I'm going to talk to you about today, you'll be unstoppable in the kingdom of God. How many people want to be unstoppable? I want to be unstoppable in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, so you just need to get a hold of these keys. Should we just do this next week? No, we'll keep going. Give you a little cliffhanger. You know, well, I'll give you the keys next week. Amen. Make you all come back. Amen. And so let's look at Matthew 16, because you want to be unstoppable. Say, I want to be unstoppable. So in Matthew 16, see, the devil doesn't want you to be unstoppable, but you're going to get these keys this morning. And in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, let's look at this. This is powerful. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Amen. And this is a key question here. This is a key question for each one of us. This is a key question for the world. Who do you say Jesus is? Who are you saying, who is Jesus to you? Amen. This is a great question, because the world will tell you who they think Jesus is. Some people in some communities will say, well, Jesus, and they will respect Jesus. The Muslim community respects Jesus. They say, well, Muhammad says that Jesus is a great prophet. And, you know, that's great. And he is a great prophet, but he's more than just a great prophet. Some would say, well, Jesus was a great teacher. He had great sayings. That's great. He is a great teacher, but he's more than a great teacher. Amen. Some people say, well, Jesus was a great humanitarian. you know, what he did. He was a giver, you know, and he blessed people. That's great. He was good in that, but he's more than a great humanitarian. Amen. He is the Son of God. You got to get a revelation of that, and you got to start praying for people that they get a revelation of that. Amen. So we must get an understanding of what Peter said. Peter said this: you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so getting that understanding will bring us into a place where we can walk in the highest degree and obtain all that heaven has for us. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not a might, it's not a maybe, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto salvation, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see this, that really it's really important on what you believe who Jesus is and who Jesus is you. He must be the supreme person of your desire and your worship. Do you worship Jesus? Is he number one in your life? You must believe that he was raised from the dead so that you could be raised from the dead. You must believe that he became sin so that you could have right standing with God. You must believe the power of confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you confess the lordship of Jesus Christ, you have salvation. Now, there's many people, and I talk to people, and I try to witness as often as I can. And some people come from religious backgrounds. They come from, you know, different denominations. Denominations, you know, such as, you know, Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterian, Lutherans. They come from these backgrounds. And I will sometimes ask them, are they a Christian? And they would say, well, I'm Lutheran, or I'm Methodist, or I'm a Catholic, and I was confirmed in the church. You know, I was water baptized in that denomination. That doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. That doesn't mean anything. Well, I'm on the roster of a church. My parents were Christians. You know, they say, my mom really loved God. Well, what about you? Well, I'm trying, you know. And so you got these people that are identifying. Some of us used to be like that. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm Methodist, you know. But are you saved? Is Jesus your Lord? Have you ever confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ? And most of them would say no. Most of them would say no. Are you supposed to do that? Yes, you're supposed to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. And lots of people, I'm going to say not most people, but lots of people have religion, but they don't have relationship. Amen. And so that's where we got to talk to people, because it's the religious person, it's the hardest person to get saved. The sinner and the person that doesn't go to church and the person that's out there doing all the wrong things, they're easier to get saved. Because why? They know they're doing wrong. But the religious man think they're okay because they pay their dues on Sunday morning and live like the devil the rest of the week. Is that a way most people think? And they, well, I pay my boot, not my booze. You know, I pay my dues. Amen. I'm getting too excited over here. I pay my dues on Sunday morning. That's how I used to be. I was a religious man. Man, I'm the Methodist man, right? But I didn't have Jesus in my life. I never confessed Jesus as Lord, and I never lived for Jesus. The key, if you are a true Christian, are you living for Jesus? Is Jesus the center of your world? Do you revolve your life around Jesus, or does Jesus revolve his life around you? I'm going somewhere today. In other words, is Jesus, you know, he's just there just as fire insurance? Amen. So you make it to heaven, but you can live any way you want down here. That's not the way it works. Amen. And so we must make Jesus Lord. Say, I'm making Jesus my Lord and my Savior. In Matthew, it says this way. It says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me, this is Jesus speaking, me before men, Him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So I'm going to say this today. You need to start confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ wherever you go. And that will cement your salvation in him. Glory to God. And so let's look at this again. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now this is powerful, and so a lot of people in some denominations will take that scripture and build a teaching on it, saying that Peter's the rock of the church. But Peter isn't the rock of the church. Jesus is. Jesus is the rock that's immovable. Peter is Petrus. He's a little rock. Amen. And I want to say this, that getting an understanding that Jesus is Lord can make you a rock in your family and can make you a rock in your community. Jesus wants to make you a rock. He wants to make you a rock that's immovable, that no matter what the storms of life may blow at you, you're not going to be blown down. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And he said, Peter, Petrus, little rock, upon this foundational truth. What is the foundational truth? That Jesus is the Son of God, that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Glory to God. And then I love this. So this is the foundation of receiving all that heaven has. When you bow your knee to Jesus, then all heaven bows to you. Oh, that's a great statement. When you bow your knee to Jesus, all heaven's resources, can I go a little further, will bow to you. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. And I don't know about you, but I like the idea that heaven's resources are at my beck and call. How many people like that idea? I like that idea. So when I get under the authority of Jesus, then everything else gets under my authority. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. In other words, your life doesn't have to be controlled by circumstances. No, you can control the circumstances. You can control the winds. You can tell the winds to be peace, be still. And you say, Pastor David, you're talking like we're supposed to be like Jesus. That's right. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Is that too hard of a word today? Yes, we're supposed to be like, you're not supposed to be like the other guy. Who's the other guy? He's the one that got thrown out of heaven. You're not supposed to be like him. You're not supposed to act like the other guy. Amen. The one that got thrown out of heaven, Lucifer, the one that lost his kingdom. Amen. No, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I would say it again. You have a kingdom, and that where is the kingdom? Inside of you. And if the kingdom is in you, you cannot be shaken. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, God is so awesome. So we can partake of what God has for us. And so here Jesus is saying in Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we see here binding and loosing in the name of Jesus will help us move forward in our race with God. How does binding and loosing work for the average believer, you might ask? Well, loosing has to do with our authority in commanding angels to work on our behalf. I'm going to say it again. Loosing has to do, this is getting good today, I'm telling you. I might have to buy the CD myself. Loosing has to do with our authority. Say, I have authority to command angels. Oh, Pastor, only God has that authority, but you're under God's authority. And because you're under God's authority, you have the power to command angels. I'm telling you, it's getting good in this church. I'm telling you, it's getting really good. And so we need to understand this, that loosing has the authority to command angels to work on our behalf or the behalf on our loved ones. Amen? Let me give you two scriptures to back up what I'm saying, because I have to give you a scripture reference to let you know that we can command angels. This is okay for me to give you some scriptures to back what I'm saying up, because I'm giving you some word this morning. So I love this in Psalms 103:20. It says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening to the voice of his word." Okay? So we see here angels play a big part on how God gets things done on the earth. Angels play a big part in how God operates. God operates his power a lot of times through angels. Can I get a witness in the house today? So God's angels do God's work. Would you agree with me there? So when we give voice to God's word, when you give voice to God's word in your lives, you're activating angels on your behalf to cause God's word to come to pass. You see, my pastor that founded this church had a vision one day. And he had a vision of three angels. I don't know if he was sitting in his car, and he had an angel was like leaning down on doing this. Another angel looked bored, you know, just like laxy-daisy. And these were bored angels waiting. And the Lord revealed to him that you're not putting your angels to work. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And what? You have angels that you can put to work by speaking the word of God. You must give your angels an assignment. I'm going to say that again. You must give your angels an assignment. And when you give them an assignment, they will work on your behalf. Amen? And I love that. So the second scripture I want to focus on is Hebrews 1:14. And in Hebrews 1:14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So we see here, this is another angel scripture. It's saying that angels are they're working to help people get saved. Do you know angels help people get saved? Do you know that when I went to church that Sunday night, that I had this thought, go to church, and I went to church, and I came in at the end of the service, and the preacher said, "Bow your heads, and if you want Jesus in your life, and you need Jesus," he said, "raise your hand." And you know what? I believe an angel raised my hand up, because it just went up like it was a string attached to my hand and just went up all by itself. It was like that. And I looked, and I was shocked myself. I was shocked because I love the world. I love the party, and I love the world. And I didn't really want to have anything to do with Jesus, but I was in church, and my hand went up. I believe it was an angel that raised my hand up. Amen. Amen. Now, I had to do something. I had to get up. I had to walk down to the altar. I had to make a confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I had to do something on my own free will. Glory to God. But the angel helped me. Do you believe angels can help your relatives get saved? Yes. I believe that. Do you believe angels can help you in every area of your lives? Yes. I believe they can. Amen? So angels can help us and even help people in our lives. And so it says here that to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Now, when you think about salvation, a lot of people don't think about this. They think, well, salvation is going to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of salvation. But salvation really means wholeness, soundness, preservation, protection, prosperity, eternal life. That's all in salvation. So you can say angels will help you become whole, will help you become sound, will help preserve your life, will help protect your life, will give you prosperity, and will help you walk in that eternal life that God wants to bring you into. Do you believe that angels are watching after you? You had an angel watching over you before you even got saved. Oh, wow, that's a great statement. In other words, the devil was trying to kill some of you before you even got saved. The devil was trying to knock your lights out before you got saved. I've experienced it. I should have died a few times because of my stupidity in going out there doing a lot of crazy things. But God's grace, and because of a praying mother, I'm here today. Because if it wasn't for a prayers of a righteous person that makes powerful power avail much, I wouldn't be here today. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate your prayers. Amen. Amen. And her prayers helped the entire family come in. See, it takes one person. Do you know it just takes one person to change your entire trajectory of where your family's going to go? One person in faith can change destinies of people down the line in the lives of your families and your loved ones. You believe that today? Say, I'm the one changing things in my family. Glory to God. And so I love that. So angels will help you in these areas and to build the kingdom of God. We must learn, number one, to loose our angels. But number two, key, is that we need to learn to bind the adversary. We need to learn to bind the devils, because it's not just you and God alone. It's you, God, the world, the devil, and the flesh coming against you. And so we have opposition, but you have power over opposition. I'm going to say it again this morning. You have power over opposing forces that's trying to come against you. You know, there's opposing forces that's trying to keep you from being wealthy. Yes, amen. There's opposing forces that's trying to keep you from being healthy. Yes. There's opposing forces. The devil doesn't want you blessed. Yes. Do you believe that today? No, he wants you cursed. Yes. And so he wants you working with him, but no, you got to work with God. Amen. And so how do you crush the devil underneath your feet? How do you do that on an everyday basis? Well, you do that by binding the devil's operations in your life. Binding the devil's operations in your family's life. In Matthew 12:29, it says, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will be able to plunder his house? This is Jesus. Jesus is talking about setting somebody free. He's saying that when you set somebody free, they're bound up by demonic powers. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? People can be bound up by demonic powers. And he said, before you can set this person free, you got to bind the demonic powers in their lives. What could be the demonic powers in life? Whatever vice that's destroying them and their families. It could be alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be anything drugs related. Anything that will destroy them and their family, you got to bind the strong man. Then you can plunder his house. You need to bind the strong man in your kids' lives, whatever areas that they might be weak in. You bind the strong man and you loose your angels. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Brother Hagin, developed the Rhema Bible College and did a lot of great things for the kingdom of God, pleading to God for his brother Dub. What a name, Dub. His brother's name was Dub. Dub, not dumb, but Dub. And he was praying for his brother Dub to get saved. And his brother was wild. He was out there, and the more he prayed and begged God, the further his brother got away from God. And he started praying again, and now he got serious. And God, and the devil kept telling Brother Hagin, your brother's going to die and go to hell. Your brother's going to die and go to hell. And the devil would just say that to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin pleading, God, please save my brother. And God said, why don't you do something about it? And Brother Hagin said, what? What do you mean do something about it? Why don't you do something about it? In other words, you got the power of binding and you got the power of loosing. And so he said, well, what do I need to do, Lord? And the Lord said, first of all, you got to bind the operations of the devil in your brother's life. This is worth combing your hair for, coming out to church. You got to bind the devil from operating in your brother's life. And you got to loose the ministering angels to go forth so that he can get saved. And you know, within 2 weeks, his brother got saved. When he bind the devil and loose the angels. Think about that. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying that you have power. You have power you know not of. Some of you are begging and crying and pleading for God to do something when God has already given you the power to do something. See, God has already done everything he's going to do because he did it already through Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything is already set, but it's up to us now to enforce the devil's defeat, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. Amen? So we need to bind the devil's operations and loose the angels. You know, at one time, Brother Hagin was dealing with a financial deficit in his life. And so this binding and loosing doesn't only work in salvation, getting people saved, but it also works in finances. Amen. And man, enemy wants me to try to sneeze here. And it also works in finances. So how many people want to prosper in here? Brother Hagin has a little book on how God taught me about prosperity. And one of the things that the devil fights is that he tries to fight that people, he tries to fight this idea that Christians shouldn't have anything. And that Christians should be humble with little. Because if you're humble, you're poor. So that's what the devil tries to instill in people. If you're humble, you're poor. But that poverty doesn't mean you're humble. You could have need. You could be in poverty, but be a thief. Is that right? You could be stealing from people because just because you have poverty doesn't mean means you're pious. Doesn't mean you're close to God. No, there were people that loved Jesus that were wealthy people like Lazarus. He was wealthy and he loved Jesus. So you can be wealthy and love Jesus at the same time. This might set somebody free tonight or this morning. You can be wealthy and love Jesus at the same time. So Brother Hagin was dealing with deficit in his life and he started praying and fasting. And the Lord said to him, he said, don't pray to me for money. He said, don't pray to me about money. Like, Lord, I need money. I need money. Again, get a need minded. He said, you need to stop praying and start commanding money to come in. Amen. He said, what you need to do is do these two things. You do these two things and your financial future will be changed. He said, if you would just take authority and bind the devil's operations in your finances, say, Satan, I bind you from hindering my finances and I loose my angels to bring in the finances that I need, you will see change in your financials. And so, he would go to a church, and the church, this was years ago, and he would keep records, and that church would give him something like $50 a week to preach. And so he would say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm believing for $100 this week. And the church, I'm giving you a roundabout. I don't have the exact numbers. And he said, Lord, I'm believing. And he told the pastor, don't try to get them to give. He's just going to pray. And when he prayed and he believed for that $100, that more than $100 came in. Amen. What am I saying? You need to take authority in the realm that you're in. You need to start binding the devil's operations in your life. You need to start loosing your angels. And as you do that, you'll see the blessings of God. Amen. God wants you blessed. God wants your relatives saved. God wants you healthy. Amen. I like what it says in Psalms 112, 1-3. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. I love that. So this is a scripture that says that wealth and riches will be in our house. Glory to God. The devil is such a liar. Oh my gosh, the devil's a liar. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Oh my gosh, he's trying to attack me up here. The devil hates his message. Why? The devil doesn't want you wealthy, healthy, and wise. And so you got to get a revelation that God wants you wealthy, healthy, and wise. And so in Psalms 12, 1, 12, 1, 3, it says, blessed of man who fears the Lord. How many people fear God in here? He says, how many people delight in God's commands in here? It says that your descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And I love this. Wealth and riches will be in your house. And your righteousness will endure forever. Glory to God. I love that. And in Proverbs 8, 18 and 20, is 18, verses 20, 21 says this. Riches and honor are with me, riches and righteousness. I traverse in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. When you look at scriptures like this, how can you say that God doesn't want you blessed financially? You can't say that because His Word tells you He wants you blessed. Glory to God. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. Amen. Amen? And I'm telling you, as we love God, as we put our, as we submit ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then that opens all the blessings of heaven at our beck and call. And as we learn to loose our angels and bind the demonic forces, not only in our lives, but in our lives of our loved ones, we're going to see prosperity, we're going to see blessing, we're going to see God's grace invade our lives. Do you believe that today? Amen. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're bringing us into a greater place in you. I thank you, Father God, that the most important thing that we could confess is the Lordship of Jesus Christ and believe that He is the Son of God. Perhaps you're listening or watching and you never made that confession. Maybe you see yourself as a denominational person, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, but have you bowed your knee to Jesus and not to a denomination? Today is a day of salvation. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So just, if you're ready to do that, say this out loud to me in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.